Listen to me. There are times in which you must stand your ground and command heaven to release whatever is hanging. Pray the prayer again. Whatever is hanging that belongs to me, I command you. Touch the ground. Reach my hand. Reach my hand. Reach out to receive it from above. In the name of Jesus. So you must what? You must know how to ask effectively. Number two, you must know how to hear. In 1 Kings 18:41, what did Elijah do? Elijah said to the servant, he said, go up to Ahab and tell him, go up to the mountain and eat and drink. For what? I have heard. I have what? I have heard. I have what? I have heard the sound of abundance of rain. You must ask. You see, many of us don't wait to hear. You see, you are just minister of information. You don't pass information and just get up. You see, God does not want information. God wants communication. He wants to talk back so that you can respond to him. He says, somebody, oh God, promotion. Husband, wife, Oh God, do it. As if you are kidding God. Praise the name of the Lord. You must wait to hear. A man was praying in Dallas, Fort Worth. Are you following me? In Fort Worth City. What happened? He told God how he felt. He said, God, if you are not tired of me sitting on a wheelchair and I'm your son, born again, tongue blowing, rapture ready, demon chasing, heavenly bound, and I'm in wheelchair, if you are not tired, me, I'm tired. According to his testimony, he said he had a loud voice and said to him, son, go to Ararobot and tell him, I am supposed to be healed today. I am supposed to be healed today. Ararobot lived in Oklahoma, and this man left Fort Worth, 3 hours journey with his wife because he believed. If it were something, God left TDJs. God left Copeland. God left so-and-so. Get him behind me, Satan. In Jesus' name, I pray. Sometimes, are you following me? You hear God clearly, but because you don't want to do the will of God, you claim it's the devil. Men of all, you enter your car and God say, don't take the usual highway you take. Take alternative. Say, no, no way. And then you get stuck. And you say, something told me. Oh. Something told me. Oh. Now God has reduced to something. So the man got to Oklahoma and said, Mr. Robert, I'm supposed to be healed. And that one did not argue. He laid hands on him. Instantly, he was healed. Amen. Listen to me. You need to know how to ask. You need to know how to hear effectively. Number three, you need to look correctly. That is why the Bible says, watch and pray. Listen to me. In the kingdom, you must look correctly. You know, I'm praying for myself. And I'm praying for men. We men, we don't know how to look. We look superficially. We don't look, are you following me? With details. My wife will ask me, T, did you see that thing? Did you see that? I said, what? It was in front of you. Me, you didn't see it. I didn't see it too. You are not too detailed. I said, please, anything you want me to see, show me there. Show me there. Do you know a woman will remember where she had her first date? The table, the clothes, the spoon. The man, the moment he left that place, he doesn't even know he doesn't even remember the place. He doesn't remember. He doesn't remember. What you want a man to remember? Tell him there. Praise him, or tell him to see it. You see, a woman is like what? The hard disk of a computer. Put the right code, it will come up. But a man is a filing cabinet. You will have to go to registry to pull it out. And you have to dig before you get it. That is how a man is made. So I want you to understand. Listen to me. You must have to what? To look correctly. You see, because it is in seeing that makes the becoming. What you see becomes. What you see. You see, Joe Louis says, one in the eye is what? Better than two in the ears. Are you following me? What you see, you don't easily forget. Yes, sir. Compared to what you hear. Praise the name of the Lord. And so God wanted to do what to look. That was why Elisha had to pass the test. What I'm telling you, ask, hear, look, and see is all over the Bible. In 2 Kings, Elijah was going and they stopped Elisha. Do you know that God is going to take away your master? He said, I know. Go and sleep. I know. How did he know? Because he had asked. How did he know? He heard. Now, what happened? When they crossed Jordan, and Elijah asked him, what do you want? Because you've been following me. What do you want? He said, I need a double on you. I need a double on you. And Elijah said, ah, that's tough. But if you can see me, if you can see me. He had asked, he had heard, and I said, see you, and no problem. Ah, you are going right, oh? You are going left. Yeah, that's you. That's you. When the chariot came to carry him, he said, my father, I see. Why did he say I see you? To let him know that I have seen you. To let him know that I have fulfilled that command. I have fulfilled that. I see you. My father, I see you. And immediately, what did Elijah do? Elijah dropped the mantle because the man paid the price of asking, of hearing, of looking, and of seeing. You will look and you will see. I said, you will look and you will see in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me this morning. Brother David understood this principle so much. He understood the power of prayer. He understood the power of worship. Listen to me. You cannot overcome the next level adversary if you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is you open to CNN and say, let me listen to the news of the day. Or you go about chatting. How are you? How are you? How are you? Greet everybody in the house. And after that, you look at this. Oh, this place is dirty. I'll come and clean it later. And then you now go to God. And then you give God 2 minutes flat, 5 minutes flat. You say, Father, thank you. What did David say? David says in Psalm 5 verse 3, he says, early in the morning will I pray. He said, my voice, Psalm 5 verse 3, my voice shall what? Shall you hear? When? Early in the morning. When we first got married, my wife thought I was mad. Are you following me? I don't greet anybody when I wake up in the morning. No. I greet God first. I meet you in the bedroom. I look at you and I go. Greet me. It's your business. Are you following me? You may think I'm erratic or I'm too Pharisaical or religious. Are you following me? That is the way I believe. You see, if you understand the principle of the spirit, do you know that the people in the kingdom of darkness, when they want to curse a man, he will use the early morning spirit. Are you following me? To curse. He will not greet anybody. He will not talk to anybody. Are you following me? He will release the curse and it will happen. Why? Because they understood the principle. Now, why is it that when you are going for a medical test, they will tell you the early morning urine you should use? Why don't you use the one in the afternoon or use the one in the night? Are you following me? Because there's a concentration. There's a divine concentration in the early morning word that you release to God. Many waste words before they talk to God. Many waste words before they minister to God. God wants you to do what? Early in the morning. My voice, shall I hear? Not their voice. My voice in the morning. In the morning will I what? Direct. I will target my prayer towards you. Now, listen to me very carefully. What did David achieve doing this? Are you following me? David realized that even praying to God only in the morning was insufficient. He knew that the enemy he was dealing with. Now, Saul chased him about 32 times. 32. There are people 2 times they are dead. What, 32? David said in Psalm 55 verse 17, evening and morning will I what? Evening and morning and noon will I pray. Evening and morning and what? And at noon will I pray. And cry aloud and you hear my voice. That is, you have no choice. I pray in the morning. I pray in the afternoon. I pray in the evening. And David realized also that even praying 3 times a day was insufficient. What did he do? Psalm 119, 164. It says 7 times a day. 7 times a day will I what? Will I praise you? 7 times a day will I praise you? And I will call upon your name. Now, listen to me. 7 times, what does it mean? It beats the record of Muslim. Are you following me? Muslim, how many times did they pray? 5 times. How many times did David say he will pray? 7. Psalm 119, 164. 7 times. 7 times. Now, David also realized that even 7 times a day was insufficient. What did he do? In Psalm 34 verse 1, he says, I will praise the Lord at all times. And what? And what? And what? And what? And his praise shall what? Continually be. Listen to me. God wants to be what? A walking praise. Shall I tell you this morning that you are created for his praise? Amen. No. I know what I'm talking about. You are created for it. But what do we do? Oh, this one is bad. Oh, look at me. I've been in America 10 years. Look at me. What have I done? Who have I offended? Look at my shoe. They are struggling to remain on the ground. My shoe has become Abdul's shoe. See, looking to heaven, I pray Psalm 121. Look at my pants. Look at, oh God, who have I offended? No, listen to me. Whether it is good or whether it is bad, thank him. Whether it is good or it is bad, praise him. To overcome the adversary, do what the adversary does not expect you to do. Praise him from the bottom of your heart. Why did David say, 7 times a day will I praise? Because praise is prayer. Hello? Praise is prayer. Thanksgiving is prayer. Worship is prayer. They are prayers you say singing them. Praise is prayer you say singing. You sing praise. Praise the name of the Lord. And why is praise important? Praise is important because praise is a vow. Psalm 102:18, what does it say? It said, this shall be written concerning the congregation to come and the generation which shall be created will do what? Will praise the Lord. What generation is he talking about? He's talking about the generation of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, is what? A new creation. Adam was created, you are born. Are you following me? Adam was what? Created, you are born. But you enter into a new creation by Jesus' death and resurrection. Praise the name of the Lord. And why is praise important? I told you praise is what? A vow. How do we know that? Psalm 65 verse 1. Psalm 65 verse 1. What does he say? He said, praise waited for thee where? O God in Zion. And unto thee shall what? The vow be performed. Praise is a vow. Praise is a vow. You see, that is the reason I have problem with those who say, when is the service going to start? The service starts at 10. When is praise? Praise starts at 10:15. What of the word? The word at 11. I will come when the word is coming. So why? Because I like praising God. Oh, from my spirit. I don't want congregational praise. I will come after the word. I will come when the word is about to kick in. You know what you are losing? You are losing an opportunity to be blessed. You are losing an opportunity to fulfill a vow. Look at Psalm 56 verse 12. What does he say? He said, your vows are upon me. I will sing praises unto God. Can you see it? 56 verse 12. What does he say? Thy vows are upon me. And what will I do? I will render praise. He's not talking of dollar here. Even though dollar is an attachment to it. Are you following me? But praise is what? A vow. Now, Psalm 61 verse 8. What does he say? He says, I will sing praise unto the Lord so that I will what? Daily perform my vows. A vow must the word perform daily. That is why when you are going out, you praise God. Do you know when I'm driving, I'm praising God? When my wife likes my cooking. You know why? Because I praise when I'm cooking it. I praise over the dodo. I praise over the soup. I praise over the rice. My shakari, always singing, always rejoicing. Are you following me? I'm eating my rice and my beans and my supporters club. My beans is supporters club. With the dodo. Are you following me? But I'm praising God. Sometimes when I'm driving, the person driving us, I think this guy must be crazy. I'm praising. Lord, I'm driving and they're looking at me. It doesn't bother me. I'm inside my car. No law say I cannot praise God inside my car. Are you following me? So I'm performing my word, daily performing my vows. In Psalm 22:22, it says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the congregation of the Lord shall I praise you. Verse 25 also said the same thing. So I want you to understand that God wants you to be what? An avenue, an instrument of praise. Now, let me go on now. Now, in case you have done all I've said, you have prayed, you have asked, you have heard, you have looked, and you have seen. Are you following me? And things are not working. The next level adversary is at work. Are you following me? Because when you praise God, fruits will come. I'm going to dig deep more on that aspect tomorrow. Are you following me? I don't want to kick into that now because we have a lot to share about the next level. But I want you to understand that in Revelation chapter 3 verse 8, as I conclude, Revelation 3, 8, what happened? There's a story of a man who you can call double portion or triple portion. He's in the choir. He's in the evangelism team. He's in the usher. He's in the prayer band. This man, are you following me? He's everywhere. But one thing that was wrong with that man, are you following me? Is that his strength is what? His strength is small. Can you see it? He says, I know your works. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Are you following me? For thou hast what? A little strength. You know the problem of the man? The man was active, but not praying. The man was praying, but not expectant. He did not see that God had set a door. But the mercy of God came to reveal to him, I have set a door before you. And what is God saying? God is saying, even though I set the door before you, no man can shut it, but your strength is too little to access that door. You cannot access it. With the strength you are going with, you need more strength. You need more strength to access that door. So what was God calling for? God was calling the man to prayer. God was calling the man to renew his strength. I am calling you this morning to do what? To renew your strength. Because the strength of 2015 is not sufficient to carry you through 2016. You need a renewal of strength. So what did the man do? We see in Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 what happened. In Revelation 4 verse 1, what happened? The Bible says, and I, after this, I looked. Can you see? After this, what did he do? I looked. What did he see? Behold, what happened? A door. You see, the door you see in heaven will reflect in the door open on earth. When the door does open in heaven, it's a waste of time. Stop it. You have to pray until you see the door. Are you following me? Say a door was open. And what happened? And the first voice which I had was what? Talking with me. We said, come up hither. And I'll do what? I'll show things to come. In verse 1 alone, 3 things happened. The man asked. The man looked. And the man heard. Are you following me? The man asked. The man looked. The man saw. And the man heard. Praise the name of the Lord. 4 things. And then in that verse 1, what did God tell him? God said to him, come up higher. Come up higher. To deal with God, you must operate on a higher level. To deal with God, you must operate where? On a higher level. Higher level of victory. Higher level of prayer. Higher level of sensitivity. And for that reason, in verse 2, what does the Bible tell us happened? In verse 2, the Bible tells us, and immediately what happened to the man? I was in the spirit. Immediately, I was what? In the spirit. And behold, what happened? A throne was set in heaven and one. Now, why is this so? Listen to me. Every time you go to God in prayer, what does God do? God sets a throne before you. Why? That connects to Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly to where? To the throne of grace. Where you do what? Obtain mercy. And do what? And find grace. You see, the throne is essential. Why? Because all answers to prayer come from the throne. All answers from prayer come from where? From the throne. And that is why you must access the throne. And in order to do this, what do you need? You need the oil. You need the altar. And you need the throne. You need the oil. You need the altar and the throne. What is the oil? The oil is the grace of God over your life. And the oil is the fuel that you burn where? On the altar. Because your altar must not carry ashes. And what does the altar do? The altar connects you to the throne. It connects you to power. Let's stand up. It's time to pray. The oil, the altar, and the throne. And with the oil, with the altar, and the throne, the adversary of your life is in trouble. Praise the name of the Lord. I said the adversary is in trouble. Amen. The adversary is in trouble. Amen. The adversary is in trouble. The adversary will not be able to hold you. They will not be able to limit you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Let me conclude by sharing this testimony with you. A man had, successes in life. He went to do his PhD in mathematics and economics. And what happened? Next level adversary never allowed him to get a job. Are you following me? His case became so bad that he became arithmetic teacher in a primary school, PhD. And so he found himself in a Redeemed Christian Church of God, and they raised prayer point for him. And they raised the prayer point, and the man of God called him inside the office and said, look, what is going on? And lo and behold, a revelation came that the man should go to the father and ask him, Daddy, what have I done to deserve this? They just asked the father, what have I done to deserve this? So, but before you go and see your father, buy all kind of things that your father will enjoy as a gift for him. So the brother bought all kind of things and got to the father. And the father said, welcome, Shegun. I know you are going to come back. Tola went to America. Shade went to Canada. Kunle went to England. You went to Russia. You left me in the village. I know you'll come back. My son, come. Let me show you something. And his father, not an enemy, his father, the one who gave birth to him, took him. He said, come and see. You see? See, you are my first child. What is this? Your name is there, Shegun. Your placenta is in that spot. I service it monthly with all. This is Shade zone. This is Kunle zone. This is Shola zone. So all of you, you will come back one by one. Now you are back. Now what did this boy do? This man now, what did he do? He followed his father inside the house. He sat down as if they were still gisting. As soon as before the father could know, he rushed out of the house and went to the spot where is the pot that was labeled in his name. He shook it, carried it and put it on the shoulder and began to run. And the father ran out of time, holy, 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 stop him, stop him. This guy took race. Are you following me? He became Ed Moses overnight. He tore race. And then suddenly, he got to the motor park, Lagos, any amount. He tell a taxi driver, Lagos, any amount, he's ready to carry you without any question. He landed in Lagos and carried the pot to the church. They emptied the content of the pot, prophesied over it, broke the yokes and the covenant. And within 3 months, letters began to flow. Letters began to flow. Where have you been? Where have you been? Where have you been? There is what we call a cause and effect. Next level adversary is so wicked that they can do evil to stop you. We are going to pray. Jeremiah 30 verse 16. Jeremiah 30 verse 16, what does he say? Jeremiah 30, 16, let's pray. Jeremiah 30, 16. He said, therefore, what does he say? All that devour thee shall be devoured. All your adversaries, everyone else shall go into what? Captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be what? A spoil. And all that pray upon thee will I give for prey. Now turn into prayer. Heavenly Father, all that devour me, today I hand them over to be devoured. All that pray against me, I hand them over for the prey. Everyone that is spoiling me, I hand them over to the spoiler. And everyone that is working against me, I hand them over to captivity. Prayer, 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 prayer. Pray, 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 pray. Ask the Lord, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, ask the Lord. Every one of them who is devouring me, devouring my substance, I hand them over to devourer. I hand them over to devourer. Let devourer devour them. Let them be put to captivity. Let the spoiler spoil them. Let them be given for a prey. So shall it be. So shall it be. So shall it be. Give them for a prey. Give them for a prey. Give them for a prey. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, the Lord will pray. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. It says, I will heal you. For I will do what? Restore health unto thee. That word health is not only your body health. Are you following me? It includes financial health. It includes marital health. It includes job health. It includes business health. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Oh God, restore health in my business. Restore health in my body. Restore health in my marriage. Restore health. 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 All around 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 health. Thank Heavenly Father. Thank Heavenly Father. All around health. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed, blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, the Lord will pray. Why should God restore health? Let's go to verse 18. Verse 18. Verse 18. He said, behold, I will bring word again. The captive of Jacob's tent and have mercy on our dwelling place. Now, I need verse 19. Let's go to verse 19. Verse 19. He said, and out of them shall what? Proceed thanksgiving. And what? Voice of them that make merry. And what will happen? I will multiply them. And they shall what? They shall not be few. And I will do what? Glorify them. And they shall not be small. So tell God, as you restore my health, as you restore my business, as you restore my marriage, as you restore health in my career. Oh God, multiply me. Let me not be few. Glorify me. Let me not be small. My business will grow. My career will grow. My marriage will grow. I will grow in wisdom. I will grow in power. I will grow in great grace. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Mercy. Mercy shall be released to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed, blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, the Lord will pray. Finally, Isaiah 61 verse 7. Finally, Isaiah 61 verse 7. We'll pray more tomorrow night. Isaiah 61 verse 7. It says, for your shame, you shall have what? Double. This is the month of double. For your shame, double. And for your confusion, you shall rejoice in your portion. Therefore, in the land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be upon them. Now, let me explain that to you. What does it mean in your confusion? Follow me. A colleague of my wife was doing, she was doing a clinical exam to cross over to the clinical school. And he had a receipt already. And so that was the last opportunity for him to cross. If he failed that exam, he's road one. And so 20 out of 40 students, the first 20 that came out didn't pass. It was written all over them. And all the consultant needed was for the student to hold the hand of the patient, check the pulse, look at the time, read the pulse again, and tell the consultant the reading rate. That was all the consultant needed. And this brother began to cry and said, God, let your son not die outside Jerusalem. Lord, intervene for me because this is my last chance. Or else right now, I am on my way out of this university. And he began to cry unto God. And suddenly, this brother got to the examination room and saw the patient. And the consultant told him what he expected. So examine the patient. And as soon as the brother held the hand of the patient, which is the first protocol, held the hand of the patient to check the pulse, because time was running, he didn't know the answer. Because time was running, he looked at his clock and put his wristwatch and he said, ah, you passed! You made it! That's all I need! Because he was the only one, the first person out of 40 to get it. He said, you got it. What was it? He was confusional. He was confused. He didn't know. It was after the fact that. Have you been to interview before? Wait, do you mean to say? Yeah, that's what I meant. God will go before you. Turn it to prayer. For my shame, the double. In my confusion, I will enter destiny. In my confusion, no matter how confusing it may be. No matter how confusing and confounding maybe, I will enjoy my portion. I will possess the double. Everlasting joy on my head. I will possess the double. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, the Lord will pray. I want to make this call now. And what is the call? You are here this morning. You have never at any time asked Jesus to come into your life. I'm not taking chances. In case you are here visiting us or you are here coming and you have never asked Jesus to come into your life, this is an opportunity. Because all I've said can only be enjoyed by those who believe. Anybody in the house? Anybody? Or anybody who knows that if Christ comes now, you're not going to make it? Anybody? Okay, nobody. Now, put your hand on your chest and lift it up to heaven. I'm going to pray. Father, I ask that the oil will flow from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. They have lifted up their hand in surrender. They have touched their heart for possession. Father, possess them anew. Visit them afresh. Give them a new song. Let it be so. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Praise the Lord. Sit down rejoicing. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.